connection circle where people come to see it, a matinee together. So thank you. Thank you. Enough self-promotion.
But if I'm not mistaken, you just called me a spiritual tool. Spiritual tool.
Okay.
I can call worse. That's a good thing. And as you were just explaining that, I realized I have tickets. I haven't told you that I have tickets. I'm going to be away the week that it starts at the Unity Worldwide Ministries Convention in Kansas City. And ironically, our next Sunday back here at the Theater Center is June 23rd.
And
I the closing, and that's when I have tickets for the play that day. So,
thank you.
Anyway, you know what? Adrian is waiting to share a song with us.
Oh.
So please welcome, all the way from the middle of Connecticut. She had to leave very early. Adrian Buckley.
I never hold my hand out and ask for something free. I got pride I can roll out for miles in front of me. And I don't need your help, and I don't need sympathy. I don't need your love far from me. I know I'm superwoman, I know I'm strong. I know I've got this cause I've had it all along. I'm phenomenal. Love. I need you to be with me. Can someone just hold me? Don't fix me. Don't try to change me. Can someone just know me? Cause
oh.
And Sarah, thank you for sharing the daily word that I requested. The daily word is from 1981.
Wow.
And when I was getting my divining rod out about what we needed to hear, what we needed to, what message we needed to gather today in this configuration, change is what kept coming to me. Clearly, and I love that affirmation. I give thanks for the enchanting miracle of change. Really? Does it always feel enchanting? Now, being very, very committed to the flow, as I am, right before the service this morning, I got a very strong hit that I actually do need to share today's daily word. Didn't feel right last week, but it seems to, unbeknownst to me at the time, very serendipitously have influenced what I'd like to talk about today. Because today's daily word is I am. I am a living expression of God. In the book of Exodus, Moses asked God to ask God his name, and God responds, I am who I am. I am is the name of the divine presence within me, a reminder of my spiritual nature. Sometimes I may forget my divine identity by thinking of myself as weak, incapable, or unfortunate. If I have spoken disempowering words about myself, I release those thoughts and stop using those words. Each time I say I am, I strengthen my awareness of the truth of my being. I am God's life, love, wisdom, and strength, expressing uniquely as me. As I pay attention to my thoughts and words, I'm able to recognize and release limiting thoughts more quickly. My awareness of my true identity grows stronger and stronger. In Matthew 16, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now, the part of that that spoke to me was the part that sometimes thinking of myself as weak, incapable, unfortunate. Oh, how cool. I think I just got a blue line. Whereas Kmart when you need it. Or if I've spoken disempowering thoughts or words about myself, has anybody ever done this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, I also thank Adrian for sharing that song that I requested, because I'd like to share a story that is, my dear friend David Ault put in his award-winning book, The Grass is Greener Right Here. It is about something that is very dear to my heart that I share from time to time, and it's been a while since I've talked about it. The story might be a dead giveaway. Day after day, the artisan would fill the molds and start the assembly line process of creating his signature clay pots. One after the other, these pots, made from the local clay that lined the banks of the town's river, emerged from his kiln, each identical in shape and detail. Once fully dried, he prepared them for sale at the market. There was only one significant problem. Hardly anyone was buying. Despite his very best efforts, sales never rose above the meager mark. Believing in a more is better approach, he worked longer and harder to create a bigger inventory, yet nothing was changing. The pots continued to sit unclaimed and even bargained for month after unprofitable month. Finally, with so many of the unsold pots vying for space, he began running out of room within the shop to store them. Every inch of the floor lay cluttered except for a single haphazard aisle, barely wide enough for his frail, thin frame to maneuver. Towering stacks of clay stalagmites rose from the floors. Eventually, blocking out the sun that longs to peek through each day from the storefront window. One morning, while making his way through a narrow opening, the artisan caught his foot on the edge of one of the stacked columns of pots. It leaned, it wobbled, and fell, hitting one row after another across the huddled floor, broken fragments of clay scattered all around his feet. He screamed, his voice tapping deep into the chambers of frustration and helplessness he had long, long repressed. Bending down, his defeated hands touched each piece as if to apologize for failing to find them a home. He placed the remains in the burlap bags used to transport the pots to market. These bags are not going to market, he thought dejectedly. They are bound for the trash. It was hard to think of simply throwing the gathered bits away. He had, after all, dug the clay himself from the banks of the river. He had meticulously separated and removed each pebble and fragment of tree root and brush grass before the clay went into the mold. Staring at the collection of burlap bags that lay around him, the artisan began to cry. It had been a long while since he had shed an actual tear. So much of his current life was spent doing, thinking, planning that he pushed away his sadness, covering it up with the mindless work, the familiar task of making pots. But his sadness had never left. And now it pressed at his weary heart with an undeniable need for attention. His crying continued slowly, then forcefully, until eventually the last drop of emotion that would not be denied rolled downward from his swollen eyes. It was then that the artisan began feeling a strange sensation. He discovered an ability to breathe easier, fuller, more calmly. It was as if releasing his long-held tears had opened up more space within him and allowed unclaimed air to fill his lungs. While picking up the fragments around him, he spotted an old can of glue and some tubes of gold filigree, long hidden behind the multitude of piles. Suddenly, the fresh air in his lungs was accompanied by a fresh idea. He began gluing pieces back into formation, adding the gold in between the haphazard cracks. The result was so startlingly beautiful that the artisan further expanded his experiment by adding color from old paint stock he had forgotten even existed in his inventory of supplies. He set them outside his front door to dry. The positive reaction was immediate. Before the pots could even be transported to market, people began knocking on his shop door and asking to buy them with great enthusiasm and zeal. How unique, how beautiful, the passersby exclaimed, as they left with multiple purchases and promises to tell their friends. Today, the artisan continues pouring the clay in the mold, just as before. But as soon as the kiln has fired them to perfection, he places the pots one by one in a burlap bag and breaks them to itty-bitty pieces. Then begins his innovative and joyous process of gluing each unique piece back together. Years ago, after my first surgery for cancer, my dear friend Diane Burke brought to the hospital when I was in recovery this beautiful piece of pottery called kintsugi. It was made from broken fragments of beautiful turquoise pottery put together with melted gold. It's the Japanese art of kintsugi. And David responds to this story by saying, most of us have approached life like the artisan in the story. We get stuck in patterns, habits of doing, and fail to see other options until our patterns come crashing down. We are a New Thought Church. Unity of New York is a New Thought Church. And how appropriate, because we are always having new thoughts, like the artisan was forced to have. Here we are in this new space today, having new thoughts, because there's never a time that we're not having new thoughts. Here's the thing about these thoughts that we're always having. These thoughts are not always about what's going on around us. We think they are. We think it's about the place, the space, the relationship, the person, the situation. We think it's about the circumstances. But the thoughts are about us. They're always about us. That's the only thing that thoughts can be about. It's how we are relating to anything that we're experiencing or anything around us. Do we feel safe? Do we feel danger? What are your thoughts when you get on the subway train or walk down a particular street in New York City? You're having thoughts because we're always having thoughts. Or on a first date or a meeting. Or when somebody says something to you that feels like an insult or feels like a compliment, insulting, flattering, at a party, at a restaurant, even home. When we're home, how are we feeling about our home? What are we thinking? New thought philosophy is about cause and effect. It's officially called the law of mind action. What we think is the cause. And it always has an effect. We're always changing our thoughts about ourselves because we have the power of thought. Whether we're ever aware of it or not, we're having the power of thought. So here's what sounds like a great big contradiction. We have the power of thought, but our thoughts hold no true power. We have the power of thought. I thank you, Sarah. Sarah, you look like a puppy. What? It's true. From our thoughts, there is an effect. Our thoughts are neutral. They're not good. They're not bad. They just are. But whatever we're thinking, there is an effect of some type. Mind, action, cause, effect. We know. We've heard it over and over. It's cliche. Change is constant, right? Change is constant. We hear it a lot. It's true. Change is happening moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. And we're having thoughts about whatever is changing moment to moment to moment. And we are experiencing effects moment to moment to moment from our thoughts all the time. Here we are today in this new space. Someplace that we've never been as Unity of New York. For the first time since 2005, we're gathering together on a Sunday in some place other than Symphony Space. Now, as a church, Unity of New York, we've always thought in different ways from the very beginning. Ways about what church is. Instead of asking what church is, we've always asked, who are we? We've always thought of ourselves as a different kind of church, and it's even on the new beautiful sign that's downstairs that Bill Weber designed. Yay. Thank you, Bill, for designing that and gifting that to us. And we probably just had thoughts about being a different kind of church, because that is going to have a different meaning to whoever hears it. And by different, we do not mean better than anyone else. But I'm sure there are those who interpret it that way. And for a time, in the early years, we were identified as the Zabud in Chelsea. And for many, many years, we were associated with Symphony Space on the Upper West Side. And here today, in the Ann Bernstein Theater, in Midtown Broadway, in the Theater District, Times Square. What were your thoughts when you walked in here? Because you had them, you couldn't help it. We have thoughts. You're a spiritual being, but you're also having your human experience. We humans are meaning makers. And the meaning we make up always comes from our thoughts. So here's the real truth that all of this is about today. The real truth of who we are, who each and every one of us is that we are, you are, a beloved child of God. Is there anyone who hasn't heard that before? You are a beloved child of God. And even broken, you're a broken and beautiful child of God sometimes. And so the key question here is, what thoughts would you have to change to fully and completely believe this? To not hear it in theory, to not hear me say it, or have anyone else, any other Sunday speaker say it, or any other book or any other workshop. Oh, I'm a beloved child of God. There's only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life. Get out of the universe. That was my parking space. I do have to take up the whole sidewalk, you child of God. We're all the loving children of God. What thoughts would you have to change to believe that you are truly a beloved child of God? Because you are, and that's the truth. Say it, I'm a beloved child of God. Are you? I am a beloved child of God.
I am a beloved child of God.
Yay, I even like the echo. Again, change is not good or bad, it's neutral. Think about a change that you have made in your life that had a tremendous impact, a tremendous effect. If you were a smoker, or drinker, or nail biter, the examples are infinite, and you no longer are, you had a thought that led you to make the change. It all begins with that thought. You initiated a change in your life. And a lot of them are big. I remember when I said, I'm going to New York. I have to. I can't not. And as soon as I made that declaration, that huge change where my life would never be the same, everything just fell in place. What was that old, those old, not Pac-Man, it's not Ms. Pac-Man. It's Centipede, where the, remember the game where? Yeah, that's kind of the visual that I got. I didn't know how, and all of a sudden all these things just started falling into alignment. Now, I want to know what thought and brought change that broke you open, because breaking open is what lets the light in, just like the artisan with the pots. It's that time of breaking. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe you're going through something right now where you feel really broken. You don't have to raise your hand. But there are a number of us in here that I know are going through something that feels very broken. And the great thing is, you can get out your gold paint. You can let that light come through the cracks. and then you can seal the mission. Then you can seal it into something so much more beautiful than it was. And you don't have to use gold. You can use whatever color floats your boat. We are always, always, always changing. So again, I'm going to ask, and I really want you to think about this. I really want you to think about this. What thoughts would you have to fully and completely believe that you are a beloved child of God? You're a beloved child of God, exactly as you are. And I'd like to take that into meditation. So if it helps you to take a deep breath, helps me take a deep breath and relax. And as we get still, let's think of those loving words. Consider the lilies of the field. Which is to say, consider what we call nature. And just be aware of its natural unfoldment, the beautiful sequence of expression, of multiplication, of abundance. And so let's begin at the beginning. Think of a seed or a bulb or an acorn. We know it doesn't have the intelligence to make a decision, but what would happen if that seed, if that bulb, if that acorn could decide, could feel the fear of change? What would happen? It would probably just stay the same and stagnate. To express, it has to be willing to break its shell, to let go of its pattern that it's in at the moment, to launch out. And then what happens? As it breaks the shell and begins growing, again. And because it cannot intellectualize or reason, it doesn't grow and then look around and say, well, I'm a tulip. Let me look out there at the world of tulips. Let's see what's in this season. Or I'm an acorn. I wonder what the oak trees are doing. I can get my pattern from one of the successful ones. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that master teacher Jesus did say, consider them. What happens to the seed? To the acorn? It's as if it is centered on itself. It's not aware there's ever been another one like it. It just gives way to its own original individual pattern. And what comes forth? A tree whose every leaf has an original design. A flower unlike any other flower of its kind. And vegetables and fruit, the same pattern, the same natural unfoldment. And then what happens at this time of year? What happened to that one seed? How many fruits? How many flowers? How many vegetables have come from it? And if that isn't enough of an expansion, then within each fruit, within each vegetable, within each flower, how many more seeds are there? All part of growth, of expansion, and all happened because the seed was willing to change. What about you? What about me? What about that seed that is within each one of us? That spiritual seed that constantly needs to unfold, to stretch out, to express. What about that flow of creativity that has one intent? To manifest, to multiply, to grow and expand. We're different than those other seeds. We have an intellect. We have a privilege of saying yes and of saying no. We have the privilege of deciding. But can you feel right now, even for these few moments of imagining, and remember that imaging is one of the most creative energies in our universe. So imagine or image a spiritual seed, a spiritual idea that is you, living forever in the soil of infinite mind. Its pattern unique, its intent to unfold, its nature to expand, its awareness without any limitation, and always centered on uniqueness. You are a divine original, never looking out there to see what they're doing this year, but knowing I can only be I. The I am that is my core has its very own pattern. And right where you are is the wholeness of the universe. Right where you are is the abundance of creativity. Right where you are is the allness of life. And right where you are is the joy of fulfillment. And in that very secret, sacred place that only you can go to, where you can dare to be honest, look and see. Have you allowed a shell to grow around your pattern? A shell that is made up of fear, a feeling of insecurity, maybe a little lethargy. This is not a guilt trip. It's a desire to turn on the light. It's coming to that place where you know, I cannot stand still any longer. I need to give way to the energy that is me. I need to listen to that still small voice that only I can hear. And right where I am, I have to stretch. And each one of us knows the feeling of stretching physically, of releasing tension. Imagine yourself stretching spiritually. Isn't that what is meant when being told
to let your light shine. Don't hold it under a bushel. Just stretch. Now look again at that seed. What happens when you take away the bushel of that shell? What happens to your own awareness of self? What happens to your self-image, to your self-awareness, your self-respect? And what are you feeling right now? How do you feel? In tune? Receptive? In gratitude? New growth? Consider the lilies of the field of your own garden, your inner garden. The flowers in your consciousness, the abundance that is your reality, and the creative love that is you, that must create, that must be active, that must move through you, that must expand, that must grow out of this richness, out of this abundance. In the stillness of your own being, hear the movement of ideas as words if you need to, but let these words become alive in you as you consider the multiple seeds of your reality, the ideas, the inspiration, guidance, the encouragement, the inner security, the divine dissatisfaction that is grateful but never satisfied, because always, always there is more, and always it is you, now, this day, this moment. So much to give way to. That you are part of an expansive universe. Be willing to expand. You are part of an expressive universe. Be willing to express. And you are creative and created out of a universe of life, so say yes to it. And so even as we accept this abundance, we see beyond it. And we see within it there are these multiple seeds of another new beginning, a beautiful declaration that life is eternal, and life is full of love. Even as we are aware that our cup truly runneth over, we now joyously say yes to change. So be it.
Changing, I'll be better than I am. trying to find a way to understand. But
thank you.